Hi, I'm Luke Casterly and welcome to It All Works Out, a podcast series from A Lust for Life, where the Leaving Cert class of COVID-19 talk about the emotional fallout from what's been a crazy year and the uncertainty of what's to come. Births, deaths and marriages, first steps, first pedal of a bike, 21st birthdays and graduations. Milestones are an important part of everyone's life. Milestones are markers where life splits into before and after, crucial steps along the way that frame our experience of the world and help us make sense of our journey through life. They're all formative experiences which teach us plenty of lessons like resilience and hard work, but they can also be enjoyable, leaving us with memories that we'll never forget. However, this unprecedented year, 2020, has turned a lot of these things upside down, and for the first time in the history of the state, this year's sixth-year students, the class of COVID-19, will not get to complete the infamous rite of passage that is the Leaving Cert. It also means that we won't get to experience the other things that often define the Leaving Cert year, like graduations, Leaving Cert holidays, and sitting in a classroom with our friends in our uniforms on the last day of school, signing shirts and running through the halls for the last time. Ask anyone about their last days of school and they'll paint a vivid picture, no matter how long ago it was. These are things that everyone remembers forever, but unfortunately, we just won't. For some people, this is grand and not a big deal, but it's also tough on a lot of people, and will make it even harder when it comes to moving on to the next big milestone, leaving secondary school behind and transitioning to the next stage in our lives. In this episode, I speak to Sean, Ellen, Jamesy, Connor and Alicia about milestones, rites of passage, and the fear of missing out. And I have a chat with Louise Carroll, Blizzard's bass player and chartered psychologist, about the importance of milestones for our mental health. I started out by asking the class of COVID-19 about their experience in the transition from primary school to secondary school.
I was so excited to move on to secondary school. Like, I think everyone when they're in sixth class is ready to move on, but I was just so ready. And my mom's always given out to me for doing this because she's like, you're 18 going on like 80. I always wanted to be older, and she's like, I was just like you. When I was 16, I wanted to be 18. I was 18, I wanted to be 21. And then you realise you're married with kids. And I think I'm always like trying to do more, even with my work and stuff, with all the different groups I work with. I'm always trying to aim higher, like push higher. I'm just like that. So I think when I was in sixth class, I was really ready to move on. I really, really loved my first year in secondary school. I loved my whole secondary school experience, to be honest. It was amazing.
When I left primary school, my mom would have always said that I was a bit like how I am now in Leaving Cert, you know. I would have always been just not whiny or whingy, but trying to get on to the next phase of my life. And I was just, I suppose, ready for that next stage. And I would have always, in sixth class, she would have said, like, you're always like this. When I was cribbing and complaining about the Leaving Cert, she was like, you know, you've always like this, but maybe just slow down and enjoy it. And this phase of our lives, I think that lesson has really been learned and really ingrained to us, because we crib and we complain about the Leaving Cert system and how crazy it is, and that's a topic for another day, which I have plenty of thoughts on. But in ultimately, like, going from this phase of our lives to the next phase, like, that was the main thing that my mom was trying to tell me, that you know, slowing down and appreciating it, you know. I don't think it was until we had that torn away from us that that lesson became ingrained in people.
I'm afraid I have a terrible memory. I remember on the last few weeks of school, we'd all be like signing each other's t-shirts and crying as if we were never going to see each other again, despite most of us going to the same secondary school, or a secondary school that's probably 20 minutes away.
Yeah, I actually remember that the day I moved, yeah. I was actually, before I went to the school, the principals and stuff knew I was a part of the travelling community. So they were actually really, really helpful towards me. In St. David's and R10, they're actually really helpful towards me, and teachers were very considerate and stuff, and they knew who I was and stuff, so it was actually very good. And the lads in school as well, they're actually very nice as well. I still talk to them today, like, so.
But and actually, I do. When you're talking about the sixth classers, I do feel bad for the 2020 sixth classers, because I feel like we were like prepped a lot for secondary school in the last few months of sixth class, sort of what to expect, what will be different, and how you have a different teacher for every class, and you have lockers, and like, so like terrifying. And this, I do feel for the sixth classers now that are just sort of going to be thrown into all that.
For first year, for me, kind of at the start was good. It was kind of like, you know, by the end of sixth year, you're kind of you're ready to leave. It's, you know, big fish, small pond kind of thing. But once you get in there, once the novelty of it is worn off, and it's not as good all of a sudden, you have to do work, I found it, I think, probably easier, I think, than a lot of people, because at the time I was about 2 feet taller, I'd say, than a majority of the people in the school. One thing I remember is being introduced to my TY buddy, looking down on him, and kind of him saying, "If there's anything I can help you with, but to be honest, I think you're going to be all right."
And that's probably one of the outcomes from this, that slowing down and appreciating stuff is necessary in the present, because you never know when it could just be all torn away and ripped away from you. Then you can miss out as a result of that. So going from primary to secondary school, I probably didn't, and I probably didn't take that time. And going from Leaving Cert to college now, I think that I did. You know, I think that I slowed down and I assessed what was it that I wanted out of my Leaving Cert year.
We then cast our minds back to the first rite of passage in secondary school and our first state exam, the Junior Cert.
I don't really remember like thinking about the Junior Cert in first year, but I know in second year I took it really seriously. Like, really, really seriously. And then when it got to third year, I think I just started to realise, like, that it like, my parents... Okay, not that it didn't matter, but my parents wouldn't want to put stress on us. Like, they never have, me and my brother. And, look, they say, like, once you're working hard and you're being productive, like, we're not going to push you and force you to do anything, not just in an exam setting. Like, they want us to do well, but they never make it to a point where, you know, you're stressed over trying to impress your parents over a set of exams, which is great. And I think that's really helped me and my brother to find out what we want to do in our future careers as well. Like, we both figured out from a pretty early age what we wanted to do in our lives. So I think that's something. I look back now, I think it did mean more than I probably thought at the time. Like, it was a good set up for the Leaving Cert, like, especially if you're carrying on subjects, obviously, you need that kind of basis. It's a good run through, essentially. It's good experience when you're young, and also maybe to deal with things like the stress of the exams and stuff. I mean, if you're going to stay that way, I think you definitely need that sort of like basic level Junior Cert before you ever try and sit the Leaving Cert.
The Junior Cert is important as an introductory to state exams, yes, for the current model of the Leaving Cert, which is quickly changing as a result of this pandemic. But for me, it was an incredibly important time in my life when I was growing as a person, interpersonally. I had a lot of stuff going on, different friend groups and that sort of thing, and learning to stand on my own 2 feet in regards to that, different things happening in the background. And I think it's such a turbulent time in young people's life to make them sit a feckin' exam like the Junior Cert, such an overhyped set of exams. When I look back on it, the main experiences that shaped me as a person really occurred during this time. I'm not going to say that I was the best me. I was a bit of a mess because I had so much stuff going on, but like, it really was a defining moment for me. So my Junior Cert, I approached it with the importance that I approached the Leaving Cert. Yes, it's an important set of exams, but it wasn't like the writing wasn't on the wall for me with this one, you know, and I had so much going on in the background that the importance of it just was kind of a loss to me, as all exams kind of really are, but to me personally. But I attempted it and I did my best. I got my honours. I did higher level pretty much everything, and I got all my honours in my subjects, and it was a good time for exams. It was an introduction to the system as we knew it and what was to come ahead. But I think it was just a crappy time to have so much pressure on young people, and I think it should really be reassessed.
To be honest, the best thing, my strongest memories of doing the junior cert is, like, say, going to the park with my friends in between exams, because obviously we had the lovely exam weather, so then we'd all, like, go to the park afterwards and, like, dissect the exams and talk about how unfair they all are and, like, eat ice creams in between. We'd be on the swings trying to study. I remember being very stressed after the maths exams. That was because they're always sort of my weakest subjects.
That was actually very nervous I was for that, because that was the first proper exam. But when I was doing the junior cert, I actually did very well in the results, passed all my subjects, so that was very good as well. But studying for that now, that was like, it was easy. There wasn't any online studying. It was just all there, like, with books and stuff. So that was actually very easy.
I really enjoyed my junior cert year, to be honest, because it was kind of, for me, the beginning of enjoying going out. I had a group of friends that we all would go to, you know, car town or discos or whatever together. You kind of knew where you stood, I think. At that stage, you had your group of friends. You'd known everybody in your class for 3 years. You got along with most people, and you knew the people you didn't get along with. And there was kind of a sense, I think, kind of, you're in this together kind of thing. And it's your first, like you said, it's your first taste of an exam, of the big 2 weeks when it starts. But then once it's finished and once it's done, it's there. You have the sense of freedom you have is incredible. It's like this huge thing you've accomplished that you feel kind of proud of yourself making it through it.
We then had the transition from junior cycle to senior cycle, and the Leaving Cert began to loom large for us.
I started really getting involved with everything I'm involved in now when I was in fourth year. I had worked harder in fourth year than I had in third year. I've just had the weirdest secondary school experience. I was so used to being busy every day. And I think as well I had found really good interests. So I had something to take my mind off it, and there was an odd day where I'd go to Dublin for an event or something. So like I had that as well, which really helped me to break up the kind of madness that is the Leaving Cert in general.
I started fifth year after a year of pure craziness in TY, you know, like it's unreal. It was really good in my year, and so many mad adventures and just projects and different things, and really finding my feet as an individual and the path that I wanted to go on, which TY was incredibly pivotal for that for me. But starting in fifth year then, it was, of course, it was like, you know, this is a two-year course, starting, hitting the ground running, you know, try your best. It was obviously framed for me in the sense that, like, it's just as the Leaving Cert 6 year is framed, you know, it's important. It's really pivotal for this next stage of your life. But starting in fifth year for me, it was like, okay, right, I'm after doing TY, taking that year, I'm finding the general path of where I want to go in life. So I amplified that and went and got so involved in everything. I'd say that the foundations of the person that I was to become was founded in those months and in those periods. And the exams weren't really at the centre of my focus. And I'll be completely honest with you, I don't regret it. But like, it wasn't just as a big deal because I had done TY. While it was an important time for exams and the start of everything, it was the start of so much more for me.
Honestly, though, I think the worst few months for me for the senior cycle was those first maybe 2 or 3 months of fifth year, because after TY and being able and adjusting from junior cycle to senior cycle, I felt a lot of pressure because obviously it feels so much more different. Everything's more intense. There's more like a bigger workload. You have to think about your future now and like where these subjects will take you then for college. After Christmas, then I started adjusting more and feeling less pressure and start getting more focused then for exams.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely framed as sort of the turning point from like childhood to adulthood. And it's like, this is the decider of like where you end up, what college you can go to, what like apprenticeships you might get. The points you'd get in these exams will dictate your future. Even though obviously teachers would never explicitly say like your life depends on this exam. But there, of course, there was the general feeling that your future depends on these exams, which would dictate your life.
Yeah,
it was actually very tough. Yeah. From going from third year to fifth year, it was straight into Leaving Cert. Teachers was putting like pressure on us to get this stuff done because we were leading up to the Leaving Cert. So that was actually, it was a tough transition, but then again, well able to handle it because with the support and stuff from teachers and family.
That one was a lot trickier, I think, because with the Junior Cert, there's kind of a, if you come out with 12 A's or you come out with 12 F's, it's much of a muchness, really. It's now time to really put up the boots because this one matters. There's no second chances, there's no messing about, and there's definitely no TY at the end of it. It's full on, and that once you're done, you're out into the big bad world. The first thing I remember of fifth year was coming into a class and being told by a teacher that we were fighting against the schools from Dublin and the schools from across Leinster for the best grades, and the bell curve was thrown at you very quickly. And one of the big arguments against Leaving Cert was the fact that everybody should be able to do it or should get the chance to have to do it.
We talked about how it feels to know we'll never sit in a classroom with our friends and classmates again, and that we won't get to finish out our second level education as planned. On that Thursday we finished up and grabbed things from our lockers, although we thought we might not be back in school for a while. None of us could ever believe we'd never be back in school again.
There's a sense of kind of like, you know, like fear of missing out. Like, you know, we don't get to have the horrific nightmares at like 4 a.m. in the morning and like when I'm 30. I there definitely is like an element of, you know, not sitting, especially when we've done the mocks. You know, because when you're sitting the mocks, you're like, oh God, like next time I do this, it will be the real thing. Like, don't mess that up. Like, I have to do this, I should study that. At the end of the day, we did still do the 2 year course. Like, realistically, we did 99% of the Leaving Cert, we just didn't sit the exams.
When we're talking about rites of passage here, the lesson that all this shown me was to just re-dig in, be like a tree, plant your roots and dig into what it is you're doing and soak up the sap or the water in the soil as wholly as possible when you come to your rite of passage or new directions in your life, you know, because you never know when it could all be finito. You said it best in saying it's a sadistic rite of passage. I'm not disappointed in any sense of the word because it is such a stressor, and it is a major stressor, and the amount of anxiety that it creates in the pit of people's stomach, you know, every year we come out and we say, you know, it's not fit for purpose and it should be reformed. And, you know, I think it was Leo Varadkar actually said, you know, he still remembers waking up in fear of his maths paper exam, or, you know, so many people have that experience of it's a lasting memory, almost like PTSD, where it's a recurring nightmare and it's sadistic, like you said. And the step towards alleviating that pressure with this new move towards continuous assessment that I see coming down the line is a way of making it less sadistic. But was I disappointed in any sense? No, because of the sheer, it's an experience of pure stress like no other, and I'm grateful not to have experienced that, because like you said, it's sadistic and it shapes so many people's lives and has a lasting impact on them. With this way I can go about, I can continue on my path in life without having this major hurdle to jump. And you know, they say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I think it was Nietzsche that said that. And like they say that you learn and ultimately grow from the experience. But for me, the whole thing about the Leaving Cert and the hype is that, like, it might be a sense of growth after overcoming and working so hard, but it's the cliche of ending up with just a few letters on a piece of paper at the end of it. Like, to me, that stress and that hype, it's a bit of a disconnect. I don't see the relevance of it and the what it's all for, you know. Boiling everything down to 2 weeks of exams, pure pressure, pure stress, just to like I said, get the few letters on a piece of paper at the end. So I'm not disappointed in any sense, you know. I'm probably overjoyed, and it's not for a lack of work. A lot of people seem to characterize those people that wanted the Leaving Cert cancelled by the people that didn't do any work. I certainly was working my ass off, and I did work really hard for my exams, but I'm not disappointed because I did so much work. I'm not disappointed because it's just a better way of finishing off, you know. It's some people say it's their worst nightmare, but I think it's a dream come true. in having not to go through that, even though it might be a learning experience in some sense. But the way you summed it up, sadistic, I can't see it having any real impact for me. So my take on it has always been that I'm really happy, and it is a really good decision.
How do you feel about not being in a classroom with all your classmates ever again?
Yeah, it is disappointing. Like, it's also very strange, because you think back about all just like the crack you had and the fun, and even those, like, you know, after Christmas with the teachers, you kind of become more friends than some sort of kind of hierarchy situation. But no, it you know, you do miss the small things, I think. But it is a bit disappointing not having a final day, but hopefully we will at some stage.
It's so weird, because even actually my dad made a good point that they didn't even cancel the Leaving Cert for World War II, so we must feel very special. I suppose I know a lot of people are worried that it's going to, like, in the future, it's going to look like we got a fast pass to college, that we were sort of handed it to us on a silver platter and we didn't have to go through the Leaving Cert nightmares and the stress of those exams over 3 weeks. But I think we'll still have time in the future to prove ourselves. Like, of course, yeah, like, obviously, everything now is so uncertain, and there's so many, like, larger issues going on in the world. But you can't help feel like that little bit, like, pleased of, like, I'm not going to have to sit, write 5 essays in under 3 hours. Not too shabby. On the 12th of March, none of us expected that this was going to be the last time we were going to see all these certain people that you'd consider school friends but you wouldn't see outside of school. That was definitely very surreal. Like, looking back now, thinking that was the last time I'm going to see this person in school, or the last time I'll have a proper conversation with this student. Yeah, just be able to properly say goodbye and share memories over the last 6 years. It can feel awkward to try and articulate the disappointment you feel missing out on stuff like the different ceremonies and grad masses, because it can sound like you're sort of invalidating larger issues going on in the world. But I think for the most part, like, we always understand, like, the rationale and the logic behind cancelling these ceremonies and how it's necessary. But regardless, we still have that emotional reaction of, like, we wish we could have had this in the end. Like, it's like, because I feel like they mark the transition from senior cycle to third level education, and now not having that, it just sort of feels like we're sort of staggering towards college now, a bit unsure.
I'm not disappointed in any sense of the word, like, the decision with the exams, because from my perspective, I think that ultimately it's going to serve us better in the long term. And that's a very binary view of a 1 and a 0, in terms of, like, you're moving, you're growing, or you're not. But I think that for me personally, I don't see it as being a something that I would reminisce on or long nostalgically for. It's like a caged animal, that has been kept in captivity for so long. I'm just ripping and raging to get out of this cage.
I was actually I was a bit upset not to finish school with the lads, because we were looking forward to it. When COVID hit, all the lads, we were all in school and we were like, this could be the last days in school, and it was. So it was actually very tough, yeah, to not finish school properly. Like,
I remember most of the friends that live around me would already be in college and would tell you of the absolute horror stories of the weeks leading up to it, the fear, you know, panic attacks, second thoughts and CAO offers. I had one friend who actually ended up getting the Nocton scholarship. It got 602 points in the Leaving Cert, but thought he was going to fail everything and came very close to dropping out and joining the army. Just pure panic, pure terror, really. For the education system as a whole, it's an opportunity. It's a chance to make it better and easier for students coming down the line.
And finally, we talked about how we were feeling about things like the debs and graduation ceremonies before the COVID crisis hit, and how we feel about not having them to look forward to now.
Yeah, we had a whole kind of graduation ceremony. It's actually really beautiful in our school. Like, we really missed that. I remember when I was in fifth year studying for my exam, my summer exams, this Leaving Certs of the time had stories, you know, like Snapchat stories up of them, like, down at the pub with the teachers, and I was like, oh, that's gonna be me next year, like, oh yeah, that's gonna be so much fun. And then it was just like, it was disappointing. And yeah, the debs is also really disappointing. Like, me and my friends were really looking forward to it, obviously, as a bunch of girls, like, you know, the dresses and everything. But yeah, it is really disappointing. But look, again, at the end of the day, there's a bigger picture. And we'll have them eventually. Like, there's no reason why you can't have a debs or you can't have a graduation. Like, it only takes a couple of hours for the graduation. And for the debs, like, it's just a case of the committee just continuing, you know, talking to the hotel and seeing when it's possible and stuff. It's kind of an outside of school thing anyway, really, so.
The debs. This is a big bone of contention with me. I've been to the debs already. I'm going to tell you about my experience. I was in fifth year when I went, and we had the meal, we had everything. It was a long bus journey, and it was grand. It was grand for a night out. But the main thing is that I was sitting at my table and we'd finished our meal. And you know when you're parched at the end of your meal and you could get a drink. I know there's alcoholic beverages for sale. But I was like, you know, what would just be great now is a feckin' a cup of tea. And I was like, yo, is there any chance I could get a cup of tea? And the heartiest laugh just erupted out of her. And I was like, are you for real? She just sat there laughing hysterically at me looking for a fucking cup of tea, like... So I'm going to tell you, man, that the deb's fucking overrated.
Yeah, I think I was definitely looking forward to it, but then I do think I took for granted that it was a certainty. I was like, oh yeah, definitely, like, I'll have this. We'll all go to the cathedral, light some candles, sing a few songs, be able to say goodbye to each other. And like, I think, yeah, it was just such a certainty. Just very disappointed, I suppose, because it's such, like, it's such, I think it would be such a nice experience to be surrounded by all these people who've gone through all the same experiences you have, know all the same, like, all, like, the different inside jokes of your school. Like, you plan a ceremony with a theme that you all decided on, you sing songs that you all decided on, like, as a whole year. And even as much as people tell you how awful the Leaving Cert is, they always tell you that last month of school is so lovely in terms of bringing the whole year together and feeling such solidarity among students as you get to the end. So definitely it feels like a very missed opportunity, I don't want to say bitter, but very, there's definitely a bit forlorn, I suppose, nostalgic for what never happened in the end, I suppose.
Yeah, even the school graduation as well, I was actually looking forward to that be the last time in school and stuff, and then for them to be taken away kind of ruined the year in a way, because we were always leading up to this, and then with the Leaving Cert they were kind of the little, but like the positives as well, like you could look forward to them, and now you couldn't look forward to them because they were cancelled, like, so it was hard.
Well, the likes of the Grad Mass and that kind of thing I was looking forward to, because the one thing I would say about her school is that when it comes to a night out, we usually do a good job of it, and there's usually always a good bit of crack with most of them on a night out. And if that doesn't go ahead, that is one part that I would be upset about, that you don't get that last, you know, you don't get the graduation night, you don't get your proper grad. I'm still hopeful that they do go ahead, but I do struggle to see how it could happen. In regards to, like, leaving school, I'm just looking forward to it, to be honest. That's one part that I am really... Just genuinely looking forward to finishing it and getting out into the world and kind of moving away from, like you said, from parents, from teachers, that, you know, a sense of independence, kind of. Well, the thought of never having to be in a uniform again doesn't particularly upset me, but it is the idea of never being able to see a lot of people. Like, you always hear people say, oh, we keep in touch once school leaves, but inevitably there are going to be a lot of people that you will lose touch with, you know, like you said, people leave the country, will go different places all over the world, and it will be a case of, that's it, you never talk to or hear or see from that person ever again. And that is sad. Like, it is sad, it's kind of something I'd find it hard to wrap my head around, because I think usually with most people there's the grad and there's a bit of closure, but I think it probably won't hit me until I have my Leaving Cert in my hand and realise that is officially it, that's it, finished. I won't be coming back here for any educational purpose, pretty much.
So I went to ask Louise Carroll, psychologist and musician, about how important milestones are and what we can do to help bridge the gaps left from not having them.
My name is Louise Carroll and I am a psychologist, and I've kind of pigeonholed myself into creativity psychologist. I've created just a domain that didn't exist just because it kind of suited my range of skills. So I'm also a musician, composer, and I'm bass player in the Blizzards.
I started out by asking Louise about her own Leaving Cert experience.
I find school a funny thing because when I was in it and when I went through the whole process and went through all the transitions, at the time I remember thinking, okay, this is fine. I know what I'm doing. You know, I know what I'm aiming for. I'm just going to keep tracking through this. I like it. And honestly, when I look back, I don't understand how I coped. I don't understand how I got through it, because on some level I hated it, but never admitted that. The pressure, the stress, the expectation, having to fit into certain parameters, you know, knowing probably that there was a whole portion of myself that wasn't being expressed through the education system, that wasn't valued because it wasn't academic, you know, the creativity side. And I think I pushed that down in my own process, and I repressed that part of me within that because it didn't seem to be valued. And, you know, it's not. That's not what's measured. So it didn't really come to the surface. And it's really only in hindsight that I look at that and think how restricting it was for me as a person. So I guess what I'm saying is I sucked it up and I went through it, but it didn't suit me. It definitely didn't suit me.
I asked Louise how important are milestones in the life of a young person.
I think they're important in the construct of society, you know, the way it's laid out, because it's laid out before you that these are the milestones that you, or the landmarks that you need to hit along the way. And in that sense, it does give you a guidance, you know, and it gives you something to aim for. So with how society measures success, I suppose, it is important because you do feel a certain sense of achievement when you hit them, you know, when you get beyond them and maybe you get what you wanted, or, you know, but if you fall short, that's when it doesn't help you so much. And I think, again, it comes down to how you measure it, right? You know, if we're measuring our development, if we're measuring our levels of success in accordance to these societal milestones, then it's a sort of, it's a very binary thing, right? You either pass or you fail. And if you fail, then you're not measuring up to society's standards. And that's the problem that I have with it. You know, I think it's a simplistic way of, and I get it, like, it make, you know, there has to be some order on society, there has to be some order on development, on childhood, you know, moving through your teenage years and into adulthood. I get it, you know, it does make sense on a very basic level, but the nuances are what I'm interested in, you know, as a psychologist, and what is it that you stand for, and what is it that has been lost on your own developmental path because of trying to fit into these structures, or because of maybe not meeting those standards, and therefore feeling like a failure or that you don't measure up, right? And how can we find a way to value the other aspects of development and bring them into the fore, so it's not just this heavy weight on these, you know, concrete milestones.
This year's Leaving Certs have had their chance of doing these exams and leaving behind their friends and going to things like grad masses and debs taken away from them. How can students cope with this separation?
Yeah, that's a tricky one, because you're kind of, you know, it's not just the academic milestone, it's actually that social and developmental milestone, which is different. You know, and I think it's hard to separate that from the complexity of what COVID brought to our country, you know, to the world, because it's all inextricably linked, you know, and in every way, everyone has been devoid of that kind of, you know, both social interaction, but also the loss. It's almost like a grief, you know, that has come into place of the loss of what was the norm, or the loss of what you felt your life was going to look like, or how it was going to transition. And if you don't experience that transition, it can sort of linger, you know, that there's no sort of concrete closure point for you to shut the door and move on to the next stage. And that is a difficulty for sure. And I mean, what I would wonder is there a way, you know, when society moves back into functioning at a more, let's say, normal level, I know that word is highly contested, but is there a way that these sort of developmental milestones, whether they're social, whether it is the debs, can be organized, you know, and put back there and brought back and given the opportunity to shut the door? Because those milestones at the end of school, it's about closing the door, right? You know, it's about looking back, reviewing, seeing how far you've come, and it's closing the door and it's moving on to the next phase in your life. And so if you don't have that opportunity to close the door, it can linger. You know, you do feel that something is slightly unfinished. But, you know, if it is more social, then that's, I do feel it might be important for groups in and of themselves to even organise that and bring it together and really recognise what they've been through together. You know, it is important. It is important for you to be able to, yeah, shut the door.
Leaving Cert students are also being thrown from one milestone to the other with the transition from school to university, rather than the gradual ease years before them got. I asked Louise to give some advice to give students to help tackle these challenges.
Funnily enough, I've been sort of thinking about this aspect, maybe on a broader level. But, you know, the idea that we are governed by external forces, right? In order to develop, in order to move forward, in order to reach equality, it's always an external need for almost authoritative or policy change or approval. And in so many ways it is that. In so many ways we do rely on the collective society to come together and to influence change in policy or authority. But, and this, sorry, sounds a bit tangential, but I'm coming back to it. So it's, if we continue to look outward for our own fulfillment, we are never going to be fulfilled, right? And this applies to milestones, and this applies to kind of our social steps and what we either, you know, welcome in or say goodbye to. And I think we all individually have the ability to move, to sort of reconcile those differences, to kind of meet or fill that void ourselves. In fact, it is only us that can fill that void. It is only the individual who can fill that void. We can never fill that void by looking to external reassurance or, you know, external needs or looking for policy or authority to kind of fix our woes, right? I think we have to look for authority and policy to bring us closer to equality. Absolutely, 100%. But when it comes to our own individual progression, our own development, then we need to look at building internal resilience, right? We need to look at building our own adaptability to change. We need to be able to find the resources to navigate difficulty ourselves, right? You know, we have to be able to embrace curveballs. You know, it needs to not always be looking outward to solve the inward problems. I think, you know, when you're in any situation, this is obviously an extremely unique one with extremely unique challenges, but I think we got to roll it back, right? It still needs to come back to yourself and what you can cope with and how adaptable you can be to the curveballs that get thrown at you. Okay, you know, so, okay, there might have been structures in place before and, you know, you could get advice for how to navigate it. We don't have that now. So that we've got that extra challenge on how to cope, because uncertainty can bring a lot of anxiety. You know, the ability to sit with ambiguity is actually a huge challenge. But if you reach it, if you are able to navigate being able to sit in ambiguity, it really boosts your mental health, in fact. You know, if you can sit with uncertainty, if you can sit with not knowing what the outcome is, if you can sit with not being fused or attached to the outcome, that is key in boosting your mental health, right? So it's, and this comes back to really simple skills like even meditation, right? Mindfulness, being able to sit with the feeling of discomfort. That is one of the biggest things I work with young people, in fact, and with adults. It's, in any difficult situation, can you sit and allow the feeling of discomfort to be in your body? Because if you can, then you start changing your relationship with your emotions and they no longer bully you, right? Because if you're letting your emotions bully you, that's when we start getting anxiety, right? And then we get anxiety about having anxiety. And it's all related to the ambiguous situation that we might be in, the fact that there's uncertain outcomes and we don't know how to navigate that yet. But it has to be one step at a time. If we look too far ahead, right, if we look and start planning these excessive goals, well, I need to be A, B and C by this year, and, you know, the circumstances are not facilitating me like that because nobody knows what they're doing, right? And so you can just see how that escalates and escalates and escalates. The fact is, the very bottom line is no, nobody does know, okay? So it has to be baby steps. If we start setting excessive goals, then we're paralyzing ourselves in the context of the unknown. So we need to start with baby steps. Take one step at a time. What can you do next that will take you closer to your goal? Is that one step? Great, do that. Are you feeling discomfort? Can you sit with that? Because if you let it hijack you, it's game over, right? So it's really baby steps, and it's getting used to the emotions within your body, the discomfort. The struggle with our difficult emotions is what brings pain. It's the struggle. It's not the emotions themselves.
And finally, I asked Louise What can Leaving Cert students learn from this experience?
What we learn is very dependent on how open we are to learning. So if we are in a state of, again, struggle, I'm going to mention that again because it's really key. If we start struggling with what is, you know, if we start fighting against reality, again, it's a losing game. If we are able to, or, if, you know, if the students today, if they're able to accept this burden, you know, able to open up and accept this burden of being, right, that's the first step. So acceptance is the first step to anything. If you can open up and make room, be willing to accept reality the way it is. The biggest pain for every individual, for collectives even, is fighting against what is. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't fight against inequality and we, you know, that we shouldn't bring about change in areas that require it. But, you know, when something like a pandemic happens and the earth is finding its way around this and negotiating the challenges that come up with it, you know, and it's not any individual's, you know, it's not malicious, it's not anybody's fault per se, then that is something that we need to accept, that burden of being. So that's the first step again, is just rather than fight and kind of lament and curse. I mean, do that, get it out of the way. You know, we can argue about it and be pissed off that this has happened and that it's influenced, you know, their transitions at this time. Absolutely, get that out of your system. But then move on, right? Then it needs to be an acceptance that this is the way it is and it's going to be uncertain. And we need to take those risky steps forward. And if it doesn't work, if that step didn't work for you, take a different one. You know, and I do think, I can't emphasize enough the importance of building this kind of internal resilience. You know, I think sometimes, and I fear sometimes, that not just us, not Ireland, I think across the world, we're almost creating a culture of vulnerability. Right, where it's almost like everything needs to be solved and everybody needs to be protected to within an inch of their lives. And, you know, we have these kind of ideological word salads about how life should be, you know, and how people should be treated all of the time. And on the one hand, you know, it's true and I buy into that 100%. But on the other hand, I know, life is hard. Life is tough sometimes. And we do get curveballs and we do hit walls. And, you know, shit happens sometimes. And the beauty about that is that it makes us stronger, you know. And we can only be tough enough to deal with what life will throw in our faces in the future if we meet adversity. That's what trains us. That's what builds our ability to cope. And our ability to cope is what determines our entire life and our mental health as well.
2020 has been a year like no other for everyone. However, in normal times, the Leaving Cert is a year like no other for students. This year, we, the class of COVID-19, have missed out on a lot of historic, formative experiences. This is, without a doubt, far from easy. But if we equip ourselves with the right tools and support each other, we can move on together. I'll leave you with a quote from the writer Nelu Karamati. The moments between your milestones are not filler. Milestones are important, but we need to remember all the small things we do every day that make up all the colour of our lives too. You've been listening to It All Works Out, hosted and produced by myself, Luke Casterly, along with the team at A Lust for Life. A big thanks to the class of COVID-19 and our guests who shared their stories and expertise. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media, rate and review it, and tell a friend who needs to hear it too.